You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for iOS, Windows, Android, Kindle, plus Mac or PC. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Home and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the Journey!
I am your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
We are here to talk to you about a very heavy-handed topic. This is kind of a dark area for us. No, I'm just kidding. We're talking about death and Voyager.
I love how you said that with such enthusiasm, because, yes, this could be a very depressing, horrible, heavy topic, but no... We're going to talk about it in a fun light.
We're going to talk about it in a fun light because, as we teased last week, there's a lot of death in Voyager. Now, granted, there's a lot of unnamed crewmen who pass away. There's a lot of the Joe Careys and the Suiters die as well. But we're talking about main cast, people in the title credit sequence. We didn't realize how many times these people actually die, not just near-death experiences, but physically die. Heart stop beating, soul ascends, and then gets raptured back from heaven into the voids of the human body. And what we're going to talk about today is actual death, and most of these are alternate realities, but what we're not going to talk about is duplicates, holograms, or things of the like.
So we're talking actual death.
And a lot of those times, and most of the times, it's alternate realities that get reset from the temporal reset button, which happens a lot on Voyager, so you can't not talk about them. Char, when you think death in Voyager, who's the first person that rushes to the front of your brain?
Okay, well, the joke is, of course, it's got to be Harry Kim, right? I mean, he is the Kenny of Star Trek Voyager, if not Star Trek entirely. How many times did this guy die? Almost die? Thought about dying. I mean, it seems like every other episode sometimes. I mean, and we kick it off even with Caretaker, where he and B'Elanna almost die from, like, the big fungal infection thing that the Caretaker gave him. We start off with that.
That's right. We start off with all of these people almost dying, and Harry is immediately, you know, revealed as the whipping boy.
Yes.
And when you Google death in Voyager, Harry is like the first 10 results.
Back in the days when I did the Delta Quadrant, we were actually doing a tally of how many times Harry died, almost died. I mean, there was a list of things that we kept track of for poor Harry, and I don't know if they've kept that up or not, but we were already, by the end of season two, we had substantial numbers for the poor guy. But then here's the thing, Tristan, it's not just Harry.
No, it is not. In our research, we have found that Harry, if anything, is par.
Yeah.
How many people die. And here's, like, since we're talking about Harry, let's start with Harry. What we're going to do is we're going to go down the list of each main cast member and talk about their death experiences. But let's start with Harry, because when people think death in Voyager, they think Harry Kim. But we're going to debunk that myth by going, all right, first off, there's Deadlock.
Yes.
That's probably the biggest one.
Right.
The most memorable one, I should say, because he did die before that, but with Deadlock, we see him thrown into the void of space.
That's right, yes. He suffocates in space, but lo and behold, he doesn't really die, because his duplicate and duplicate Naomi go back to the other Voyager and are therefore saved, and it's sort of back to normal.
It's sort of back to normal. It's one of those weird situations, and it's where we get that great quote from Janeway where she says, weird is part of the job.
You're darn right.
And that's such a perfect moment, and it's so great to have that in sci-fi. So from there, from Deadlock on, we're dealing with a duplicate Harry. We're dealing with another universe Harry. And right. It's just fantastic when you think about it. And it was so gruesome the way, like, because you see him get thrown out into space and you see his face as he's sucked out.
Yeah. Normally, Star Trek doesn't really go for that sort of thing. But you know what? That's one of the times, and for as many times as this does happen, death in Star Trek, that's one of the times that really gets me, like, oh, no, you didn't.
Yeah. But before we go too much into it, we have to talk about emanations. That was the first time Harry died. Like, and that's the real Harry. His heart stopped.
Yes, he. This was one where he thinks he dies, but then really does die. But the doctor brings it back.
Yeah, no, he was dead on the table, and then the doctor revived him. And then we have one more with Harry, pushing it up to three, and this one is alternate reality Harry in Timeless.
That's right. Yes.
Now, this is kind of a weird situation because there's going to be a lot of episodes where the entire crew dies, where the ship just explodes or something like that. But the reason why this one is special and we can count this one on top of just the whole crew dying is because he was separate from a catastrophic failure where it was him, Chakotay, the doc, and random woman.
Right. Who was having sex with Chakotay, as Harry so clearly defined.
So yeah, that is three for Harry.
Right off the bat. And there's probably, I mean, there's other things too that we're not going to mention in detail, like say Heroes and Demons, where he gets taken away via the holodeck and then appears at the very end. That sort of doesn't really count in our criteria.
Right, because if you count near-death experiences or transformation from matter to energy, that's everybody in the history of all of Star Trek, you know?
Right, it's happened to everybody at least once.
All right, so now that we have Harry out of the way and we have the marker of three, let's start from the top. Let's go with Janeway, and we find out really quickly that Janeway is the new Harry.
Absolutely. Yeah, and here's the other twist, too, is not only does Janeway have just as many death experiences as Harry, she is more than willing to die. Whereas I don't think Harry wants to, but she volunteers herself. She's ready.
Down with her ship. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, so let's knock these off here. First off, the big one, Coda.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about that one.
Okay.
Because you could argue that Coda, she didn't die in Coda. Because, okay, if you look at it from a certain perspective, she died four times in Coda.
This is true.
But then you realize that it was all in her brain.
Exactly. She didn't really die. She just thought she had died all those times. Because the doctor was actually fighting for her life on the planet. So we don't entirely really know. I mean, do those count or don't they? Because if they do, she's already topped Harry in one episode.
In one episode, she tops Harry, a very early on episode. But so the thing is, what I can't remember, Chakotay's doing CPR. So does that mean her heart stopped?
We don't really know.
So technically, you could count Coda as one that she really died. But those four times that we saw her die wasn't real because it was all in her head.
Yeah. So depending on how you want to count this, it's either four or one.
So I say we count it as one because of the real life Chakotay doing CPR. And then we can go to before and after. This is the one where Kes is jumping through time, and that's actually where we see Janeway and B'Elanna get blown back from a console explosion, and both of them die.
That's right. So another one for Janeway, one for B'Elanna.
And thankfully, reset button.
Yep.
And, you know what? I think we're going to jump around in temporal order, a lot like Voyager does, but one before that was Time and Again.
That's right. Yeah, she had to essentially blow up the planet so that the planet didn't blow up.
And that's where we see Tom Paris get shot, too. So that's one for Tom.
But did he die?
I think he died, didn't he?
No, he was wounded. Remember the kids stuck with him?
Okay, but then could we count it since the planet exploded?
Oh, that's true.
Couldn't we count the two of them? Okay, so
yeah, they died.
Janeway
dies
in the explosion. Tom dies in the explosion.
You could even argue with the whole weird thing they were doing to what ultimately did kill him was the whole thing that the crew was saving Janeway. They were trying to get them back, remember? Mm-hmm. Out of these little iceberg fragments of time or whatever. And so B'Elanna was down there. Harry was down there. I don't remember if Chakotay was down there or not. So that they all died too.
They all died too. We have one more of actual death with Janeway, and that's Endgame.
Right, and this is Admiral Janeway sacrificing herself so that her crew could get home earlier. So it doesn't really matter what age, which universe, Janeway is ready to die.
Ready to die.
Oh, we're forgetting a big one. Year of Hell.
Oh, that's right. My goodness, I have it on the list, but I skipped it. Absolutely. Year of Hell, which could be the most epic Janeway death of all time.
That's right.
And right before she dies, she says what?
She says, "Time's up."
Chills every time. Goosebumps.
Glad I can do that for you, man.
All right, so that's Coda, Before and After, Year of Hell, Endgame, Time and Again. That's five actual deaths throughout the series. And if you count every time we see Janeway die, or it is mentioned that Janeway has died, that's 17.
Oh my god, 17, really? You
17.
Count it?
17, yes. It, like, if we're talking about holographic representations, duplicates, off-screen mentions, and all four in Coda.
Wow.
That's 17. 17.
That's way more than Harry right there.
That's way more than Harry right there. But even if you take all those out and just count actual physical deaths, she beats Harry.
She still does, right. And that's not even mentioning the times that she's willing to die.
Yeah, right.
To sacrifice herself or for the rest of the ship or whatever, because there was plenty of instances of that too. So, good God, Janeway. She's the one with the death wish.
All right, so let's move on to our peppered XO, Chakotay, Timeless, which is, where he died with Harry. So, there's not much to talk about that. And so he gets off pretty easy.
That's not too bad. I think another character who doesn't die quite so much, I had a hard time finding instances where Tuvok got killed, except when it was the whole ship.
Exactly. That's the thing, is that Tuvok is the only person, is the only character. And I was going to talk about him next, so let's just talk about
it
right now. Tuvok is the only person to leave the show unscathed from death other than when the whole ship blew up. So there was no individual death from Tuvok.
Wow. The only one, too, I believe, who got away scot-free.
Yeah, because he would have died in Deadlock. He would have died in Timeless. Yeah. He would have died at all those times. But, let's come on. We're not really talking about those.
Right, there wasn't an actual episode about killing Tuvok.
Right.
So there we go. All right, we mentioned Tom Paris. Let's go through what we haven't talked about already.
Well, just to recap what we have him dying in Time and Again in the planet explosion with Janeway. And then we have Non Sequitur.
That's right, yes, he did die there. In an alternate universe.
Yeah, this is an alternate reality where Harry wasn't on Voyager when it was lost in the Delta Quadrant. And so that means that Tom wasn't on Voyager. And this is often forgotten, but Tom takes Harry to recreate the incident, and his shuttle explodes while Harry is sent to his alternate reality. So Tom died in that reality.
Yeah, well, and hey, he had nothing to literally live for in this universe. He was just a drunk in Sandrine. So this was an admirable way for him to go out at this point.
And then there's one more, which is an awesome episode to watch, and that's Threshold.
Oh, this is correct. Yes. Okay. He dies and comes back and grows a heart, among many other strange things.
And loses a tongue.
Yeah, he loses a tongue, gains a heart, has to breathe different atmosphere for a little while,
and becomes a father.
Several times. Yes, I believe he fathers three children with Janeway.
Yes, that's correct. And
which
so,
we never saw again. We don't know how they're doing out there. Crazy. Okay, how about B'Elanna Torres, Flyboy's wife?
Yes, this is interesting. I love me some B'Elanna Torres. And so...
You do.
Which she died in Before and After with Janeway when the console exploded, as we've talked about before. And also, she died in Barge of the Dead, intentionally.
That's right. Yes, she did. That was her Kill B'Elanna episode.
That was her Kill B'Elanna episode, and Tom was having none of it. This is stupid. You don't have to explore your culture or your religion this way.
Oh, but yes, you do. When you're a Klingon, yes, you do. Even B'Elanna Torres had to do it.
And thankfully, she was brought back, even though she spent a little time in Greythor and got a vacation home there.
Yeah, well, all was well by the end. That's all that really matters. One thing that I wanted to bring up, because I know that there's going to be some people listening who are probably going to question why or why not to include this episode. I want to bring up Extreme Risk. I did not put this on the list intentionally because she is very depressed. You could even say maybe a little bit suicidal because she's putting herself in danger. But I don't feel like she really wants to die. She just wants to feel. So yeah. I don't count it. Yeah.
No. And
just
and
to clarify.
And like we talked about, we're not talking about near-death experiences because every right. episode is almost a near-death experience for these characters.
Pretty much. Yes, the ship has to be in danger every week. So we really can't count that. But I know that that thought occurred to me and I had to put that out there.
Absolutely. And we have one more with B'Elanna, which would tie her with Harry Kim. And that's Fury.
Oh, here's another thing we got to consider with B'Elanna Torres. What about when she is split up in two in Faces and her Klingon version, fully Klingon version, dies?
We totally should count that.
We totally should, because even though she gets her Klingon DNA back, I mean, fully Klingon B'Elanna died.
Now, we did say that we weren't going to count duplicates because of the whole Course Oblivion thing, but this one's different because it's actually her. You know, split in two, it's not just a copy or a clone or a pneumatic or whatever it's called, gel or
right. No, goo. I think we do have to count it.
All right. All right. So that bumps it up to that bumps it up to four. Again, topping Harry Kim at three.
Booyah.
Booyah. So let's move on to seven.
Okay.
Now, seven only dies in one episode. But we see her die twice in that episode, and that's Relativity.
That is right. Yeah, every time she died, they had to redo the timeline and try again.
And see, they talk about her dying a time before that or two times before that, I can't remember, but we only see two times. We see it at the beginning of the episode and at the end. And so that's Seven dying twice.
Right. Now, they did mention, of course, that she died in Endgame. We didn't see it.
That's right.
Janeway just talked about it.
And we also hear that Chakotay died in Endgame, and we
That's
actually
true.
See his grave
Another one
marker.
For him. Yeah.
You could say, if we bring that in, like if we talk about old age and mentions like that, and we bring in Seven in Endgame and Chakotay in Endgame, we'd have to bring in a couple more mentions with the Doctor in Living Witness when he talks about Janeway spitting in her grave, and the whole crew would have been dead by then.
Mm-hmm. 700 years in the future.
700 years in the future. So obviously they'd be dead. And because he mentioned her, you know, being dead, that could count as Janeway. But then, I don't know, like
I don't know.
We get into a lot of gray area. So we could, like, I would be okay with mentioning Seven and Chakotay because it's an alternate reality where just individuals die. And in 700 years in the future, of course, everyone's going to die. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, did they really die of old age, though? I don't think that's what happened in Endgame.
Not of old age, no. It's, I was talking about in Living Witness, they died of old age.
Okay. I just needed to straighten that out in my own head.
Presumably. But yeah, no, Seven died because she contracted something on an away mission, and they said that Chakotay died of grief, apparently.
That's right, yes. He was so heartbroken over his two-week girlfriend. Sorry.
Presumably, this went on longer in the alternate timeline.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, they were married and we never saw it, so it didn't happen. Yeah,
it didn't happen.
Denial.
All right, so yeah, this is gray area. You could count them. It's up to you.
Okay.
And okay, so Seven had two of what we saw. And then that leaves us with Neelix and Kes. Now, with Neelix, Neelix only died once, but this was a big one.
Talk about it.
This was Mortal Coil. We see him get zapped by an energy beam, and we see him die, and he's dead for a long time, and then Seven brings him back using nanoprobes, because you can do that, and it's just... And then he goes through a crisis, and he attempts suicide, and it's just horrible. It's like, out of all of the episodes devoted to death, even more so than Coda, where we see Janeway die four times and she's in an afterlife, I'd say Mortal Coil is far worse than Coda when it comes to dealing with death.
Well, do you mean worse as in more serious?
Yes, that is what I mean. More serious,
yeah, definitely.
And more dramatic. Not worse as in a worse episode, but...
Yeah, oh no, yeah, Mortal Coil is way more serious about death and the implications of whether there is or is not an afterlife. A lot of questions that drive Neelix insane. a very, very good episode. Definitely the de facto Kill Neelix episode, although I know that there's people in the audience, not you, who would have loved to have seen it happen more often, but no, it did not.
That leaves us with Kes. Now, I believe that, like Tuvok, once you take out the whole everybody dies situation where the ship explodes, Kes, like Tuvok, remains unscathed. She doesn't die.
Well, what about Deadlock Kes?
Well, Deadlock, that would be everybody dying.
Okay, then I think she is the only other character who did not have an episode devoted to her dying.
Right.
She did the Mork and Mindy thing instead. She went reverse in her life in before and after.
That's right. You could count it that way in before and after, because she just becomes a collection of cells and the heart stops beating. So by that rule, you could say that Kes died and then was reborn.
Hey, we could count that. We could count that.
I'm going to count that before and after right there.
Okay, so she gets one.
She gets one, and so that means Tuvok. Tuvok is the winner.
Tuvok wins. He has killed the least.
He has killed the least. So to wrap up and give a little recap, here's the ranking from least to most. We have Tuvok with 0, Kes with 1. Neelix with 1, Chakotay with 1, 7 with 2, Harry right smack dab in the middle with 3, Paris with 3, B'Elanna with 3 or 4, you know, depending on if you count her Klingon genetic duplicate where she was split in 2, which I would like to count it, and Janeway as the winner of tonight's festivities with 5. So we just broke the myth that Harry Kim dies the most in the show.
Yeah, I feel like we're the Mythbusters.
Yes.
Right now. Yeah. Myth debunked.
Now, the thing is that we have a lot of rules on ours. We have a lot of rules because, like I said, we see Janeway die 17 times on screen. And we also have other types of duplicates that we didn't count, like Course Oblivion, where we counted B'Elanna's Klingon duplicate. So the thing is, people, we want you to talk about this. Go to trek.fm/forums, discuss the deaths that we might have missed, or if you think our rules are BS, or if you want to talk about your own rules. If you disagree with us, that's cool, because we want to hear your list as well.
Right. This is just one way to define it. There's plenty of other ways, and I would love to see an exploration of all the ways to die. There's 1,000 ways to die in Star Trek. Now, I want to thank my friend Bree, because she's the one who came up with this topic. We're actually going to do a marathon about this later on today. I cannot wait. But death is not the only thing that we've been talking about on Trek FM. And so here's a little preview of what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
And we go to the theater. I still remember this, even though I was only 4. I still remember this. We go to the theater and we're watching it. And then that Klingon dog shows up on screen. And I'm like, what the frack is that? Get me out of here right now.
Earl Grey.
He would have excellent bedside manner. Here is a joke I know.
Would you like a Sumerian sunset? It is pretty. It will lift you from your terminal case of Klingon gout.
Achoo!
The Ready Room.
I think that she is picturing him in the au naturel division of synchronized swimming.
Captain Fine.
Which is not an Olympic sport, but they are considering it as a demonstration sport for the Rio de Janeiro games coming up.
The Orb.
Is it this thing like where women like bad boys or something? Does Descartes have a Harley that I don't know about?
I think he must.
I don't know.
You know, he rides around on a Harley. He's just breaking hearts all over the place.
To the journey!
He says, yeah, they want me to read. They're saying it's mine if I want it, but I don't want to do it. And she, like, jumps out of her chair and, like, shakes him. She's like, what? Are you kidding? This is Star Trek! Are you kidding? You would be made for life!
Commentary, Trek Stars.
I thought you were going to do a Brandon Braga voice.
It's really hard to do a Brandon Braga voice.
That's pretty good.
It's
right
gotta
there.
Be, you know, it's gotta be kind of quiet.
Literary Treks.
Again, it was originally published as a scroll form and then later as a codex book, and now both in print and electronic form in the 24th century. And this particular edition of it has an introduction, an afterword, and modern commentary by a 24th century Klingon novelist named Karatak.
Continuing mission.
Goal was to try to get as much Trek content into people's hands and to let people explore the Trek universe with their own spaceship and build their own crew in the way they want, customize and design, and just, you know, to be in your own Star Trek world.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We are available on so many platforms. I highly recommend, if you have not done so, going to our iTunes page. It's itunes.com/trekfm. We've got a very pretty directory there. We also have something really cool now called the Master Feed, which includes every Trek FM podcast we release every day of the week. So if you're a Trek FM addict and you subscribe to a substantial amount of our podcast, this might be for you. I recently did this, and it's a lot cleaner. I don't have to scroll quite so much through my podcast list. It's kind of nice. I like that.
It's very easy. I like it because you just hit subscribe, and it's just, bam, you get single one of our shows. And another thing that you can do on iTunes, if you haven't already, please, 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 if you listen to us and you like us, give us a 5-star rating and give us a review. And if you do so, we will mention you on the podcast, as well as if you go to trek.fm/contact and give us a show idea.
Yeah, just like my friend Bree did, we love to hear your ideas. And when we use them on the show, we do give you credit where it's due. We would love to hear what you have to suggest.
Now, Char, where can we find you online?
You can find me, aside from here and on Trek FM, of course, on the Twitter, tweeting away about many things, especially Star Trek Voyager, though. And my handle is OTheProfanity. Now, Tristan, where can people find you?
Well, again, other than this show and on random guest appearances on other podcasts, you can find me on Twitter as well at The Insane Robin, where I have just recently resurrected my Star Trek question of the day, and people are really latching onto it. And it's a lot of fun. You get to meet a lot of interesting and new Star Trek fans, because once I release the question, if you retweet it, then all of your followers can see it, and then all of their followers can see it. It just develops a chain of Star Trek fans. And it's just a lot of fun to do.
It is a lot of fun. I cannot wait personally for when you release the Star Trek question of the day, and I finally see it and I'm like, oh, that's a good one. You've had some really good stuff lately.
Well, thank you very much. And fun fact, a few marriages and babies have happened because of the Star Trek question of the day. I'm not even joking.
Wow. How about that? Tristan, the ISS, the International Sex Symbol playing matchmaker.
Like, when a couple of people have told me that, like, oh yeah, I met my wife through Star Trek Question of the Day, or I met my boyfriend, or I've made, you know, 5 friends that I've been in contact with for years now. And it's years now. I think I've been doing it for that long. And it's just I started getting a little misty when I heard that. It was just fun.
Seriously?
Just from something little, just from something that simple and that geeky. And it's all because we love one thing, and that's Star Trek. And that's why we're doing it. And it's just
darn right.
It's a way to connect.
Yes, that is the power of Star Trek and the internet. Both two very wonderful things that we love very much. And you know what else we love? We love our sponsor for helping us keep this podcast going. So let's talk a little moment about that.
Our sponsor for this show is Audible.com. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks, with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice, along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm.
Next week, we have a heck of a show in the works for you, and Tristan, what are we doing?
I, as always, am really excited about what we're going to do next week, because we always try to do a little something different, or when we catch on to a type of show that we do, like our list shows, you know, we always get really excited about that. But this one is a commentary, and you and I love doing commentaries, and we're going to continue to do them. And we love the good episodes, the bad episodes, the funny episodes. This one is something that we said, oh, Char, I know I'm building the suspense here, and I'm gilding the lily. But Char, when we started the show with Lori, we talked about how we weren't going to tackle this episode. We weren't going to do a commentary on this episode because it's too easy or it's too controversial. But what we're going to do as a commentary next week is Threshold.
Yeah, so we lied and we're going to love it.
But you'll have to tune in next week to catch it. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!